Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I dig deeper, but still coming up with less. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents. I need money. I used to be a...
There we go, Bob. Little free agency music there, paid in full.
God, you beat me to it. That was my next choice, musical choice. That really hurts, Doug.
I knew it. I knew you were going early 90s hip-hop or whatever that was.
Eric B.
Eric B. Rakim. You got like Rakim. Are you familiar with Rakim?
Oh.
I got five LPs
with those guys.
Well, when I was down in Phoenix covering the Brewers with our buddy Todd Rosiak, he got me going on the old school hip hop again. So got in a little Rakim. Can't go wrong.
No.
A Tribe Called Quest. I bet you're a big fan of A Tribe Called Quest.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
It never fails. It never fails.
Nope.
Well, not a lot of Packers got paid in full, but a lot did get 1 and 2 year contracts. Julius Peppers, Sam Shields. There's so much free agency stuff to get into. So we're going to talk about that today, but we haven't done these in a while. How have you been?
Good. It's been about a month.
I think so. It has been. Well, we're all over the place. I don't think we've been in Green Bay at the same time in quite a while. So, we're back at it now.
You've been doing baseball and NCAA basketball, Ty?
Yeah, you too. You were doing the Horizon League.
And the preps.
That's right. It was fun. Wasn't it fun to mix it
the
up
best.
A little bit?
A great diversion, man.
Great time.
And I mean it.
Yeah. I mean, covering UWM out there in Buffalo, went back to Western New York. Good game. Not a 20-point game. I mean, it was a close game throughout. A lot of fun doing that. And you kind of saw them ahead of the time. You gave me the Bob McGinn Scotton report before I went out. I don't know, what stood out with the tournament so far with you, Bob? I mean, out of the first weekend, just some incredible games.
I'm looking at my bracket here, Ty, with our family pool.
Well, first of all, tell us about the McGinn family pool. What's at stake? How many people are in it? What does the winner get?
Son Charlie, daughter Erin, and her husband Casey.
Okay.
4 people, $5 apiece. Charlie's the czar of the pool, so he's in charge. And just hammer away. So we're looking at it here. You get 1 point for every game.
That's
so a first-round game is equal to the championship game.
That is dumb.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Every game is crucial.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yes, it does.
It's got to be exponential. They got to go. So you're saying a first-round game is equal equivalence to the national championship
That's
game.
That's the Bob rule. 1 point for each. They're all critical.
Wow, you are too old school. Does Charlie contest this, your son?
He does, but that's kind of the one I...
Is this a democracy or is this a Bob McGinn dictatorship?
He runs the show. He does all the scorekeeping, but that one rule, he's not happy with it.
I wouldn't be happy with it either.
He's abided by
that
it.
That is ridiculous. I'm sorry. So you're saying... I'm looking at the bracket right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, you're telling me that Florida against Albany is of equal significance to a potential Florida-Louisville national championship game that you have there on your bracket.
Yeah, because you don't even know who's playing after those first rounds. At least these first 32 games,
but
you know the head-on matchup.
But it takes a certain level of insight and knowledge to know that Florida or whatever team
or
is going to get to that point. I mean, that's... So you pretty much know who won your bracket already after the first weekend, right?
It's huge. There's no question. But it's always really close, and so then, you know, it comes down to the end, but it's tight.
Does it come down to the end?
Usually, yeah.
I don't know. I can't,
you don't like it.
I can't laugh you off the hook with that one. That just doesn't make any sense.
All right. So who's going to win it, Ty? I got FLA. How about you?
Oh, Virginia. Well, I got Virginia, Wisconsin. in the national championship game.
The Badgers. The Badgers usually get knocked out, in case you haven't noticed.
Well, Marshall Henderson isn't in the tournament this year, though. So they should be safe for now. Oh, boy, Baylor looked good, didn't they?
I didn't see that game. I don't know.
They looked really good.
The Baylor Bears.
Yeah. I just love Virginia's style of play. Grimy, gritty, slow it down, win with defense, Tony Bennett. They're gonna be a tough out, even against Pat's Spartans.
My wife, Pat's Spartans. Tony Bennett, I gotta keep using the stat. 49.7 career 3-point shooter at Wisconsin Green Bay. All time, all division career 3-point leader. 49.7.
And a Charlotte Hornet in the pros.
Yes, he did. A couple, 3 years.
Right. It was a big Hornet.
Tony's the best. His dad's the best. It's a great family. It's not a great family. It's phenomenal, fantastic. They're the best interviews in the world. Tony, after those games, well, he's earnest, isn't he?
Did you cover him then?
In high school at Green Bay Preble. I remember covering him after his freshman year. A couple of regional games I covered. Talked to him outside Coach Keith Wall's locker room. Tony was something else at age 15. He's a great player, and he was a great kid.
Yeah. So what made him such a great three-point shooter? I mean, what separated him?
Well, the line was shorter, right? It's now went back 8 inches, I believe.
8 inches? I don't know if it went back that far.
9 inches? Well, it started out at 19.9, and it's now at 20 feet 6.
I believe so.
Yeah, NBA is 22.6, I believe. So that was part of it. They were in kind of a bad league, let's be real, the Mid-Continent at that point. I mean, you know, Eastern Illinois, Western Illinois, wasn't a real great league. Just shoot.
Yeah.
49.7, Tyler. Yeah. I think second place, last I looked about a year or two ago, was 49.3.
That's phenomenal.
Nick Stauskas of Michigan, I know this year, is at 45.1. Gossard from the Badgers entering the last weekend was 46-4. Yeah. So Bennett could shoot, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And a great coach. I mean, he's completely turned that team around.
Can they beat Sparty?
I don't know. I think so. I picked them. I think they'll beat Michigan State. You know what's funny, though, is if you go on Yahoo or really any bracket and you see what percentage of people picked Michigan State in that projected matchup, it's something like 67%. Everybody's picking Michigan State.
Sparty's favored by 1 or 2. I just looked today. Michigan, nobody's paying any attention to them.
Oh, listen to you.
They aren't.
That's what every fan says of their team.
Anybody ever talking about Michigan?
No. I think people are talking about Michigan.
They're a weird team.
Why?
Because they got no power, but they can shoot it better than anybody. Free throws in from long range. They never foul, and they don't turn it over. Uh-huh. But they have no strength inside, and maybe Tennessee will kill them, but inside maybe they won't.
I don't know much about Tennessee, but it seems like the bracket is kind of breaking Michigan's way, really, when you look at it.
Yeah.
And Louisville's the defending champions, but they're not the same Louisville team. And
they beat the Blue in the final game last year, the title game.
Right, right.
What if Michigan had Mitch McGarry?
Yeah, what did you call him?
Juggernaut?
Yeah, something like that when we were talking before.
How about the Q's, Ty? Jimmy went down, didn't he?
Yeah, like I've said on here, though, I'm not like this, you know, bleeding orange alum. I just covered the team. I mean, it's not, I haven't really kind of made that transition.
Give it a few years.
Yeah, I don't know if that will ever happen. They couldn't shoot all year. You know, they were lucky to be 25-0. Every game was down to the wire, and they just kind of made plays late to win. Mm-hmm. It was bound to catch up with them. They got one shooter, Trevor Cooney. If he's off, nobody can shoot outside. I mean, Tyler Ennis, phenomenal player, great, one of the best point guards in the nation. I was really surprised he didn't penetrate there on the last shot. He shot a three. But, yeah, they weren't going to do any damage. So they go down. But in Buffalo, boy, we caught some good games there live. That Ohio State-Dayton game was fantastic. And, guys, one of the highlights was before the UWM Villanova game – or I'm sorry – Yeah, before the UWM Villanova game, I was St. Joe's against UConn, and Jay Wright sat right next to me.
At the press table?
Yeah, he was sitting right there. And he had it, you know, everybody thought he was kind of like looking ahead to the next opponent, but he had his UWM notes right in front of him, was kind of reviewing everything, and
cool.
Might have eavesdropped a little bit, but
that's cool.
That was cool. His assistants were there. They're great guys. I tell you what, Milwaukee put up a good fight. I mean, they played really well. For them to be in the game, until about 6-5 minutes left with Jordan Aaron missing everything. Their best player has a nightmare night. That's an accomplishment. So good year for UWM.
So my son Charlie was apoplectic when he looked at my bracket and he saw I picked UWM over Nova. That was a foolish move. I believed in the Panthers. I truly did. After seeing them 3 times and then the TV game against Wright State.
Villanova, they're frauds.
The league was bad this year. So you saw the Buckeyes go down. That was a tough one.
You know what drives me nuts about, and we're turning this into an NCAA podcast.
Yeah, we
got to
quit.
But what drives me nuts about Aaron Kraft is he turns it on with like 2 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go. I mean, he could drive, he could penetrate, he could take over whenever he wants. But any game I've seen of him this year, he's just so passive for the first 37 minutes. And then he turns it on, and they won a lot of games. They lost a lot of games. So your beloved Buckeyes, take one to the chin.
Yeah, that hurt.
Okay, let's talk Julius Peppers first. I mean, this is the one that took everybody by surprise. Not a lot of us saw this coming at all. So I guess we'll talk best-case scenario and worst-case scenario. Best-case scenario, Julius Peppers in Green Bay. What does he give this defense?
Another threat. He's going to help a run defense that's been really shaky for 4 years. And he's going to give him a pass rusher opposite Matthews. It's hard to double two really good players. And with Mike Daniels inside, that might give him three. Who knows about Dayton Jones, but Peppers could be a threat. All right. What's the other side? What's the bad side of this? You go with
worst,
that.
Worst case scenario?
Yeah.
That the fear that the Bears had was that this guy is a declining talent and he's a shell of his former self, that the effort just isn't there and he doesn't give Green Bay much at all. But at the end of the day, though, the Packers wouldn't take a huge financial hit if this experiment doesn't work out. So they could cut him after this year, and what would the cap hit be for the remaining 2 years?
So they paid him. They're paying him $7.5 guaranteed, and the cap hit next year is about $3.5, $3.25, something like that, I believe. So it's not exorbitant at all. All right, he's 34. Very few 34-year-old pass rushers have ever done anything. The rare exception is John Abraham, who went from Atlanta to Arizona this year and had what 11 or 11 and a half sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Move from end to stand-up backer. Can Peppers do this? He's never really been hurt, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great body. He's played for Mike Turgovac in Carolina for 6 or 7 years. He knows, so he obviously knows him. He's in a division he knows. He's coming into a new system.
He always got up for the Packer games. I mean, his best games have been against the Packers. If you flip that and his best games were against the Bears, I mean, what, the division came down to a 4th and 8. Then Green Bay would take that. You know, when I asked David Bakhtiari if the motor runs hot and cold, you know, what he saw going against Julius Peppers, he said, quote, "I don't know what gets into him, but every time he plays us, he's getting after it. I want to ask him, what is it about going against the Green Bay Packers that you just bring it all the time? I didn't get the chance to see him being hot and cold. He was steaming hot when he played us." So he did still turn it up at, 33 years old last year against Green Bay for stretches.
All right, two things. So he blew contain on his last play as a Chicago Bear, and it cost him victory against Green Bay, right?
That's true.
I didn't think of that till just now. Two, let's look at his Stats Incorporated. They sell this stuff, and they do a great job, and I believe they're far better than Pro Football Focus from just my vantage point. They count combination of sacks, knockdowns, and hurries for last year, all right? Peppers had 16.5. That's tied for 78th among NFL pass rushers.
Hmm.
Others on the market. Justin Tuck goes to Oakland. He had 40. Peppers had 16.5. John Abraham this year, he had 34. Jared Allen is still on the street as we speak. He had 38. Peppers had 16.5. Now, if the Packers, I agree, Tyler, he had two good games against Green Bay, but it might have been two of his best four. People who have seen the Bears all year say this was an aberration. If the Packers went overboard on taking this guy because of how he played against them, that's a very, very dangerous precedent. You don't want to be doing that too much.
So where does he line up in this defense most of the time? We just don't know as we tape this right now.
We don't. Nope. I don't know what they're going to do with him. We're just guessing.
Well, while we're guessing here, I mean, Bakhtiari, when I asked him about Peppers lining up inside, he thinks that he could be a big-time threat inside at his size, with his physical ability, his athleticism. He thinks that he could really do damage inside because I guess Josh Sitton hated it when Peppers would slide inside on him. He's like, get back out there on David. So maybe he's just a player that they experiment with, they try some different things with, and they figured, well, we're 30 mil under the cap. We can take this kind of a risk. They didn't overspend on a DeMarcus Ware, a T.J. Ward, somebody in those first 48 hours of free agency where it was just nuts out of the gate. They didn't do that, which was just to the surprise of no one. A week later, Saturday morning, they take a chance on Julius Peppers, so we'll see what comes of it.
Yep. I could read you some quotes from some people.
Yeah, yeah. What did the scouts say about Peppers? You kind of had it like the past two, three, 4 years on what they've said.
You know, one scout from each division team picks the all-division team for the Journal Sentinel. And in 2010, he was a unanimous pick at right end. In 2011, he and Jared Allen tied at right end, first team. In 2012, he and Clay Matthews tied at right end. I got to use Matthews because of the difference in 3-4, 4-3. I have to use him at that position. And last year, he finished last, dead last. Matthews and Allen tied. Matthews was first, Allen second, Ziggy Ansah third, Peppers dead last, three last place votes. All right, so there's a whole bunch of quotes. This year, one scout before the game, I don't know where that is, Tyler. I can't find that. But some people thought he was over the hill. Just wasn't pushing himself at all. He's never really pushed himself, according to many scouts. Before the draft, guys told me that, a lot of them. Maybe he will here. Maybe he won't. Probably won't, but maybe they can. What he gave, if he can still give it, maybe that'll be enough.
It's going to be interesting. If you're looking for a parallel, when he signed with Green Bay, all the Reggie White, Charles Woodson analogies, comparisons were thrown out nationally. It's not that at all. I mean, he is 34. Best case, the way he can help him might be more like a Sean Jones. I think George Stanley, our boss, tweeted that out the other day, that when he signed with Green Bay, he was 34, gave him a little bit of boost. They won a Super Bowl. If Green Bay got a Sean Jones, like a impact out of Julius Peppers, then they'd probably take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, the other big news in free agency, Sam Shields. And as our intro music, one of your favorite tunes, eloquently put, paid in full. Sam Shields, he got a lot of dough, Bob.
39 over 4 years, average of 9.75.
Your initial reaction to that deal?
I thought it was high. Drew Rosenhaus and Shields won out. I really don't know why it got that high, why the Packers did this on, what was it, March 7, 4 days before. Not really sure if they had been, they felt pressure from their constituency. Russ Ball and Thompson, I assume they gave in on some things, certainly. They knew they had a lot of cap number. Sometimes maybe you do some things you don't really want to do, and I don't think they wanted to go that high because the number was not there for months and months and months prior to that. In the end, they did it. Sometimes you got a gun to your head, as one GM told me about 2 weeks ago. He says, Bob, you get these guns to your head late at night, and sometimes you just do things.
And they didn't know how much the Tennessee corner was going to get. They didn't know how much Tlaib was going to get. There was a lot of unknowns at the time, and they didn't want Sam Shields to hit that open market and truly test his worth. I don't know, Bob. I really like the deal. You have your homegrown talent, an undrafted former college wide receiver that you developed. His tackling improved immensely. He matched up on some number one receivers. He battled, and he makes plays on the ball. He made a ton of plays on the ball for Green Bay. I just feel like if you let him walk, you look at your situation at cornerback now where, yeah, Tremont Williams played great down the stretch, but he's going to be on the wrong side of 30 relatively soon. Devon House has shown some things, but he's been benched at times, multiple times in his career. Yeah. You don't know what you have there. Casey Hayward, the Packers' best free agent, quote-unquote free agent, coming back. He says that he should be good to go by day one of OTAs. But he's been at his best inside, being instinctive, making plays on the ball that way. So, boy, I mean, if you have a Sam Shields, you keep a Sam Shields. Now, the risk is, and a lot of wide receivers who have faced, or multiple wide receivers that I talked to who have faced Sam Shields, they say that he's not as patient at the line of scrimmage, that he really has to be a little bit more patient off the line, and that's an area of his game that needs to improve. And when you give a guy a lot of money, you just don't know what's going to happen when you give that player a lot of money.
You know, he opened against Calvin Johnson on those slants. I mean, he wasn't patient there, you know. All right, let's look at the money. Vontae Davis went back to Indy for 9.0, 25 guaranteed. Aqib Talib goes to Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he got $57 million over 6 years, 25.5 guaranteed. There was two other big ones. Altuan Werner, the great ball skill guy for the Titans, he goes to Tampa Bay, 4 years, 25.5, 14 guaranteed. And then Rogers Cromartie, right? Dominique Rogers Cromartie?
Right, he was a second wave free agency guy.
He goes to Denver, 7.0 a year, 5 for 35, guaranteed 14 mil. So,
you know, I haven't seen Werner play extensively, but I mean, I guess that's the comparison. I mean, is Shields better than him?
He's a lot faster than Werner. Right. Werner's, you know, low 4.5s, but Werner is a real playmaker kind of a guy, you know. I don't know. So they paid it, and they got to live with it. So,
well, for what it's worth, just throw one more quote at you. Darren Woodson, somebody who played the game a long time, is an analyst now. He said, quote, "It'd be a shame," and I'd say this in front of Shields, "it'd be a shame if he didn't take advantage of that talent. He can be a great one." There's not a lot of good guys who you can leave on the edge by themselves in one-on-one situations. I think he has absolutely become one of those guys that you can leave out there and say, "Hey, you've got it. I'll see you later after the game." But he also wasn't really sure how he's going to handle this kind of a contract, this kind of extension. The Packers, they locked him up, and we'll see. We're going to find out. Probably would be a lot easier if they saw more out of Morgan Burnett after giving him a big deal. They have given these guys extensions, but it hasn't always worked out.
One more I need to throw in. Daryl Revis, mm-hmm. 1 year, he goes to New England, 11.5 guaranteed.
Mm.
He's got the pelts on the wall. Okay. All right, who do you want to discuss next, Tyler? The next guy that they – well, no. You're the moderator here, so. And a fine one at that.
I don't know about that. Let's hit on the four short-term deals.
Okay.
So B.J. Raji, James Starks, Andrew Corliss, Mike Neal, they all return on 1 or 2 year deals. Green Bay's able to pretty much keep them all hungry, keep them all wanting – a longer-term contract, and they know what they have on all four guys, and maybe all four players just take on different roles next season. So for Green Bay, I mean, it really couldn't have worked out better. Any four of those guys, they could have extended a while back, but they were patient. They let free agency play out. The market was pretty much lukewarm for everybody involved, and they're able to bring them back. So I think that's a win for the Packers and Ted Thompson.
So they bring Mike Neal back for basically – the Eric Walden contract, 4.0. Walden averaged 4.0 in Indy. So Neal's back, and he's going to play down and up. We don't know what their defense is going to look like as we speak. We just don't know. All right, Neal's a good athlete, and he's a young guy.
Injuries at the position last year, outside linebacker. He was forced to stand up a lot more than they wanted. They really wanted to kind of work him down more, rush inside more. Mike McCarthy talked a little bit about that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do that now.
Yep.
Unless they have more torn hamstrings, more injuries, and there he is at outside linebacker. But we'll see. Mike Neal's career turned around in a hurry, didn't it? I mean, it seems like we were just looking at OTAs last year. He's changing his position. He doesn't seem that thrilled about it. Takes him by surprise. His first three seasons are just ravaged by injuries on his last breath with the Green Bay Packers, and position switch works out. He shows some things. Yeah, he got tied around at times. He's pretty raw. I mean, you had the numbers on that specifically in your year-end reviews, but he's kind of exactly what Mike McCarthy talked about at the combine. Players who can do multiple things in the defense, that they want more of that.
I wrote that column after about 4 weeks of the season on Mike Neal.
Right.
Saying that he might price himself right out of Green Bay. So from that standpoint, I thought his numbers would be better. Now, he had the second most pressures on the team this year, right, behind Matthews, even in half a season. I think so. Matthews was first, and Daniels maybe second or third. But I think Neal was second. Yeah, Neal gets another shot at the free agent thing. He's young. He's only got a two-year deal. I just think he's got more growth in him. I thought it would happen quicker this year, but he's going to have a new outside linebacker coach this year.
Right.
Winston Moss, and the young coach is going to, Scott will be helping him on as an assistant. So we'll see.
Maybe Green Bay probably doesn't win the division and get into the playoffs if Mike Neal doesn't force the fumble against Atlanta. I mean, that was the play of that game. That turned everything.
That's right.
Okay, let's go down to the next one. B.J. Raji, you reported last season, I mean the middle of the season, $8 million a season on the table for Mr. Raji. He turns it down. What can you tell us about that offer and how it got to this point where there is just nothing out there for B.J. Raji?
Green Bay believed in him. This deal, Tyler, contained about $20 million in guaranteed money. Now, of all the DTs, I think the highest this year was like $19.5 million guaranteed money. He turned it down. I mean, he was the ninth pick of the draft. And I think the team was disappointed. And they hung with him for a while. And then when there just was nothing happening, they removed it. And Raji wouldn't discuss it. But the numbers just weren't there. And people around the league just watched all this tape of the guy. And BJ thought he was playing well or playing adequately, doing what he was told. But people around the league that have talked to me sure don't think he was playing adequately. Hmm. And so he went out there and got nothing in 72 hours. And he came back for 1 year, $4 million, $500,000 guaranteed. Now, the assumption is he will play the year, so it's close to being a $4 million guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
But that's way down the list of DTs. There's probably 10 DTs who got more guaranteed. You know, like one personnel guy said, well, yeah, they called us late, you know, and they said, well, we'll take them for $5 million a year. And the guy's, well, you know, first of all, gee, thanks, but he stinks. And
really?
It was a mess.
Did it surprise you that it was that lukewarm for B.J. Raji?
Yes, it did. How about you?
It did. I mean, I know the numbers weren't there, and boy, he's become quite a polarizing player with fans because of that. But how many 330-plus pounders can move, can play the nose, can play different techniques, and there just wasn't much out there for him. I guess because you saw B.J. Raji's potential in 2010. You saw him at his best there where he can be a dominant force.
It's a long time ago, isn't it?
It was a long time ago.
That's his best year. Linval Joseph, Paul Soliai, on and on. Ziggy Hood, Walker, goes from Oakland to Kansas City. Clinton McDonald, Earl Mitchell, Justin Hatcher, Jason Hatcher, whatever that guy from Dallas. They all got a lot more money than B.J. Raji.
Yeah, and I thought Raji would get a big deal somewhere because – you know that these teams are looking ahead to the NFL draft, and there aren't a ton of B.J. Raji types out there.
Nope.
In this year's draft. On the flip side, it's loaded at wide receiver. There's a lot of good wide receivers in this draft, yet still a lot of receivers got pretty decent contracts in free agency, I thought. I was a little surprised. Decker, got Golden Tate, got a lot of money, what, 30 mil, 5 years, something like
correct.
That?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a little surprising that with supply and demand, with teams' needs, and the fact that Raji could potentially play in a 4-3 or 3-4, you've seen him do it at his best. I thought he would get a big deal somewhere, and it would be Green Bay.
I still think Raji's a pretty good player, and I think that's important that the Packers have him back. I do. I mean, I think he's been a good guy, and I think he's tried pretty hard as much as he has within him. Somehow, you know, that was another knock on him. It's this ability to play hard, Tyler. I don't know. Mm. Some guys can just do it all the time and some can't. And teams see this. They think he tires and they think he just doesn't as gung-ho as he should be. Okay. They know. Right. And it's just, he didn't do it in a contract year. Now this is another contract year. So I don't know, but I still think it's a pretty good re-signing.
Right. Well, I think part of that $8 million offer is that the Packers value guys who accept roles, and B.J. Raji accepted a role that a lot of guys probably wouldn't like, you know, taking on a lot of double teams, in his words, playing outside instead of inside. He took one for the team in that regard, and it was pretty early in the season that it was clear he wasn't going to come in those nickel situations. They like Daniels, Dayton Jones, different players there.
Yeah.
So his role next season sounds like he's going to be on the nose more, I guess. Is that the plan for B.J. Raji?
I don't know. We don't know that. Play three technique. I mean, he's not a five. He's a three or a one technique or a zero right over the center. Doesn't look like Ryan Pickett will be back. So he's got to hold the fort for a run defense that wasn't very good.
Right, right. Okay, we got two more here then. Andrew Corliss, tight end, back on a pretty reasonable contract. 2 years, $3 million. Had a chance to talk to Corliss. He said that he had some interest from the Giants. They made him an offer, but he said he liked the fact that the Packers prioritized him. He was kind of taken aback that other teams were putting him on the back burner. He didn't like that. The Packers wanted him back, and he kind of told me this story right after Green Bay lost to San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers was walking around the locker room and made a point to go up to Corliss and said, "Hey, you know, we need more out of you in the future. Looking forward to working with you. We can do something special here," in so many words. So that really resonated. Working with Aaron Rodgers, he wants to play with Rodgers and grow within this offense. 2-year deal, he can do that. I don't know if the dust is necessarily settled at tight end for Green Bay. That there's some options in the draft. JerMichael Finley, as you reported, still hasn't been cleared medically. I don't know if he's in the picture. Probably not right now. But man, talk about somebody who turned his season around. Boy, Andrew Corliss. I mean, Jerry Fondo seems like he was just standing in that hallway saying, "We have to get more out of him. We're not getting enough." 3 or 4 days after that, 7 catches, 66 yards against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. A week after that, same exact numbers against Dallas. And he was a playmaker down the stretch for them. So the question now, I mean, maybe you've seen the tape, you've seen him work in those run blocking situations, unlike anybody else. That's probably where they need to see more out of him, right? And he was such a good blocker in 2011. Had the knee injuries. He hasn't really gotten back to that point in the run game.
I don't think so. Could he be better this year? Yeah. Another 8 months removed from the knee stuff. He has a little bit of security now. Only $350 guaranteed, but still, you know, a show of affection in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not a bad player. It was a good re-signing.
Right.
Yep.
Right. James Starks.
I like that re-signing. $750 guaranteed, right? Yep, $725, excuse me, on the bonus. Stark's a good player. He averaged 5.55, Tyler, 94 carries in all the games counting the playoffs.
Where does that rank in the NFL? I remember looking that up. I can't. It's top five, I believe. It's right up there for, you know,
he's a certain
amount of carries.
Hey, he's 28, but he's got low mileage.
Mm-hmm.
Missed his senior year at Buffalo. It's a good signing. He's right. A good back. He's going to be number two, barring injury. And Franklin and Dewan are going to be fighting for a job, right, with Hill, who you wrote about the other day.
You can make the case that if all the running backs were healthy at full strength, that James Starks is the best of the bunch. You could make that case.
You could, without being a – yeah.
But with Eddie Lacy, just two different runners. He gives you two very different things. Man, that run that James Starks had at Chicago – in that finale, not many backs can just dip their shoulder like that and turn it up another notch, another gear. So
can you remember individual plays from those games?
Yeah, what was it, 41, 42-yarder? It was a big play, yeah. It was a big play. The Steelers like Starks. There was some interest for him from multiple teams, a source told me. So there was a little market kind of developing for Starks in week 2 of free agency, and Green Bay kind of jumped in, made him a good offer, and he's back.
All right, let's look at it. The Giants are hurting for a back, right? They took Rashad Jennings from Oakland, the former Jacksonville guy. Jacksonville, they needed a back. And on the first day, who'd they take? Toby Gerhardt.
What the heck are they doing?
Toby Gerhardt looked pretty good at Lambeau Field.
He did. Look
yeah.
A lot of backs look good against Green Bay at that part of the season, though. Is Toby Gerhardt a... starting running back in the NFL, though?
We'll find out. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of intrigued by the guy.
Okay.
All right.
He's got your intrigue. A lot like those UWM Panthers in your bracket. Yeah. Which, by the way, 1 point, wow. Same as the Final Four.
Yes, sir. And I knew that, and I pulled the pin on him, the trigger. All right, the San Diego Chargers took Donald Brown. Donald Brown played pretty well down the stretch.
Eh.
The Cleveland Browns took Mr. Tate from Houston.
I like that.
Okay, again, cheap money. Your Buffalo Bills took Anthony Dixon of the Niners.
My Buffalo Bills.
And the Arizona Cards took a shot at Jonathan Dwyer for minimum. All right, so Starks is a solid signing, right?
Isn't it funny, though, with running backs where, gosh, it just seems, what, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, that was the premier position in the NFL. If you're a little kid, you wanted to play running back. If you watched the game, you watched the running backs. Those were the stars.
Yeah.
That's what you drafted. That's what you paid for as an NFL team.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just another example of the devalue, the just how much the running back position has been devalued in the NFL. It really has.
I agree. I mean, in my draft series, when we decided which days to run which part, many times, you know, our sports editor would want to feature the running backs, you know?
Right.
That and the quarterbacks, man. It's not like that anymore, is it?
It isn't.
The O line, the wide receivers, oh my gosh, a lot bigger.
And when you look back at last year's draft where no running backs go in the first round, all of the ones taken in the second round had great rookie seasons, too. Le'Veon Bell, Eddie Lacy, Giovanni Bernard, even Monty Ball, they all had their moments, but teams just don't take them in the first round unless you're an Adrian Peterson. And
yeah.
As we saw this week, they're not going to pay for you either. I mean, because there's some good ones on the market still, aren't there?
On running backs?
Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
He's out there. We got Andre Brown of the Giants. Jones-Drew is still out there, I believe, on the side. You got Willis McGahee, and now we're getting a little bit shaky here, yeah. And Noshon Moreno, excuse me.
That's the one I'm trying to think of, Noshon Moreno.
Yeah.
So,
unsigned.
I mean, a player who helped will the Denver Broncos to the Super Bowl is unwanted right now in free agency.
Bad knee and everything, but a tough guy, wasn't hurt this year. Wow, on the street.
And I asked Michael Hill about that. I mean, here's a player who is on the fringe of NFL rosters. Green Bay brings him back to a crowded backfield, but his career, he knows, could end at any minute. And his theory, and I'm sure this is a theory for a lot of teams and players, is that, boy, you take a lot of contact at the running back position, and teams would rather just cycle in different guys in such a pass-heavy league that are asked to do a lot of different things, that take a pounding in different ways. Why keep around a guy who isn't 100%? Maybe that's a factor. I don't know.
I'm amazed the Packers haven't brought back Khalil Bell. Good football player there.
Khalil Bell.
He's on the UFA list, Ty, 1 of 9.
So is Cedric Benson.
He never got a call, did he?
Never got a call, yeah. Boy, tough career-ending injury for him, if that's the case, because he was playing really well early on in 2012.
Yeah.
Not flashy, but he was giving them what they needed. He was a back kind of taking advantage of cover two defenses. They lost him, and that was a big loss for Green Bay with that team. And you can bet that season for Green Bay is on their mind with bringing back all these running backs when by December they're lunging for Ryan Grant. They're giving him a call. I mean, they're picking up car salesmen. Why not re-sign James Starks? I mean, injuries are going to happen. Can you see Eddie Lacy being that durable again? It just makes a lot of sense to have as many as you can. Okay. All right, well, Green Bay, they also signed another defensive lineman we haven't talked about. Latroy Guyon.
Guyon. Yep.
Tell us a little bit about him.
So Latroy is a pretty athletic inside guy. Spent 6 years with the Vikings. He's 6'3 and a half, 315, runs pretty good. He's got good strength, country strong, as he was described by a scout. Two scouts, in fact.
Country strong.
Yeah.
Are you country strong?
I think you are. Living off the land south of Buffalo, Ty?
Oh, yeah, we're out there in the southern tier.
He's a Tallahassee boy, I believe. He's Florida Stater. Started a bunch of games. Made some plays. Got big money in Minnesota. And then was whacked in early March, entering his third year with a big cap number. Latroy is decent, and his one problem is he does not think well on his feet. He makes a lot of mistakes. He's some of the easy things in life don't come easily for him.
Hmm.
And so he's going to have to be monitored and coached to the nth degree, and he's got to be watched and governed. He's going to jump off sides. He's going to do crazy stuff. If you can really stay on him, and the Vikings decided, new coach Mike Zimmer decided he did not want that. He wanted different kind of players. But if you can get that out of him, it's a bargain. What do you get, 50 grand a sign?
Right, wasn't much.
No. He's a nose tackle, and he can be a good player and play if you stay on him. Otherwise, he can be maybe a detriment.
I thought you were going to say otherwise he can be Anthony Hargrove.
He's better than A.H.
But is he better than Philip Merling? That's the question. Your buddy Philip.
I'm taking Guyon over Merling.
Whoa.
Yeah, I am.
Whoa.
Yeah, I like LaTroy.
Wow, the president of the Merling fan. What's up with Phil these days?
I think he's on the street.
Is he still available?
Yeah. He's high on my list, though. He's on the emergency board.
Okay. All right, so free agency is, 2.5, 3 weeks old. Is there anything that surprised you with how Ted Thompson and Green Bay went about it? They didn't sign a safety. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, probably. But they just don't want clutter, apparently. I mean, how many safeties have changed hands? Jairus Byrd, T.J. Ward, Malcolm Jenkins, Dante Whitner, Antoine Bethea, Mike Mitchell. Those guys all got big money. They could have made a run at Nate Allen of Philly. He went back there for 1 year, 2.0, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Slowed down. Roman Harper went later. Kendrick Lewis, who had a terrible year for the Chiefs, he went to Houston. He's not the answer. Phil Emery of the Bears took a shot at Ryan Mundy, the ex-Steeler and Giant. Paid him cheap. He's going to maybe be starting. The Giants took Quinton Demps of the Chiefs, who's also a great return man last year. Brandon Merriweather. Hussein Abdullah, all these guys re-signed. Who's on the board? Ahead of Bo, I just read, is going to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ryan Clark is still on the street. He can't run.
No.
Chris Clemens of Miami, he's got ball skill problems. Thomas Decoud, God, he had a big contract 2 or 3 years ago, and the Falcons dumped him. He's healthy. Steve Gregory, Belichick started him, signed him, started him all last year, put him on the street, cut him. Major Wright, who was drafted shortly after the Packers took Morgan Burnett. He's on the street. Quentin Michael, a guy who always kind of plays well. He's 33. He's on the street. Mike Adams, Denver, started in the Super Bowl at age 32. He's not bad. Leonard of Buffalo. Jeremiah Bell started all year for a pretty good Arizona defense. So there's bodies out there, but the Packers don't want any of them.
So basically what happened is need did not trump the way Ted Thompson does business in free agency.
Not because there.
The first 24, 48 hours, I mean, some of these safeties just got huge contracts. I mean, I did not see T.J. Ward getting that kind of a deal that soon. Dante Whitner still getting a lot of money at this point of his career. And Jairus Byrd, gosh, I know he had a lot of big plays and everything, but that's way too much guaranteed money for Jairus Byrd, isn't it? What was it, 27, 28 guaranteed?
26.3 guaranteed. T.J. Ward got 13 guaranteed.
So Thompson's not going to give out that kind of a contract to another safety. So that first wave takes place. You see the second wave. And then that's kind of when I thought he might reach for somebody, sign somebody, jump in, and he didn't. You mentioned Nate Allen. Maybe that was a possibility. Didn't happen. So I guess he's just kind of looking at this roster at Micah Hyde maybe, getting the switch to safety, taking a look at him. They bring Sean Richardson back.
Yep. I thought Mike Mitchell might have been a shot, you know?
Yeah, that was a player that was
second
a possibility.
Second round pick of the Raiders, Al Davis, took him because of his great 40 time and athleticism. He's a typical Al guy. Didn't do anything in Oakland. Went to Carolina last year for cheap this time of year. 1 year deal. Produced. Played good for Carolina.
He did.
Goes to Pittsburgh now. 5 years, 25, 5.25 guaranteed.
I thought Mitchell was a possibility. Did you watch the San Francisco-Carolina game?
Absolutely.
I mean, boy, he was in Colin Kaepernick's grill all game long.
I liked it.
Isn't that the player that Green Bay needs to somehow figure out?
If he thinks or not, I don't know. Trent Baalke made an interesting move. You know, he lost Golson the year before, drafted Eric Reed to replace him. Now, he felt Dante Whitner, the other starter, wasn't quite up to par. And so he goes out and he takes Antoine Bethea of the Colts, who's 29, and he lets Whitner go, who's 28, and Whitner walks to Cleveland. Whitner got more money than Bethea. Whitner got...
The W is back on his name. I believe we talked about that in one of our previous podcasts.
Did we?
He dropped the W. He was going by Hitner. Which, as we said, doesn't look good if you have the S in front of it for safety.
13 guarantee for Whitner. And Mr. Bethea got 9.25 guaranteed.
It's a lot of money.
So now Balky's out there making moves, and he's got Reed and Bethea, whereas 2 years ago he had Golson and Whitner. So he's moving and grooving in that secondary.
Hmm.
And the pack has Morgan Burnett, Sean Richardson, and Banjo.
Right. MD Jennings is in Chicago now. Jerron McMillan was released during the season. So are they putting their eggs into the NFL draft basket? Are they hoping that Clinton Dix or Pryor falls? Do they maybe like a Terrence Brooks, a Kenny Ladler? Are they really counting on the NFL draft to find somebody?
Maybe they're counting on Micah Hyde, huh?
And that's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
All right, let's get to some questions. Oh, before questions, we didn't talk about the guys that left.
Sure.
Real quick. Evan Dietrich Smith gets a pretty good contract with Tampa Bay. He leaves. Aaron Rodgers is going to have his fourth center in 5 years. We know that the team likes J.C. Treader, but he didn't play down last year, too. Any quick thoughts on that?
I liked what Dietrich Smith did to a degree. I gave him a C-. I thought long and hard about where to rate he and Barkley. I gave Barkley a C. C-minus for Dietrich Smith.
You know, they lost two of their tougher players in Dietrich Smith and James Jones, guys who played through pain, leaders on and off the field. That can be difficult to replace in itself.
I don't know. Okay, so Treader, and there's street guys, there's a whole bunch of veteran people. There's like 10 centers who at least started almost half the time last year. So They want one of those, they can do it on the cheap. Whenever. They're all sitting there.
Treader did say he's going to prepare as a starter the day after that Niners loss. So he's going to come in with that mindset. We'll see if he can do it.
Yep.
Smart, athletic, Western New York, born and bred.
Cornell. All right.
Akron. He played in Class C, which is a pretty small school in high school.
Did he?
Yeah, I was Class D. I was even smaller than that in Ellicottville. But, he was Class C.
Okay.
Point forward in basketball. Played a little point guard. He was quarterback at Akron, too. All right, James Jones.
So James Jones, a terrific person, class act, love the way he played the game. It's a tough call. I mean, they just think they have enough with Boykin. They're going to pay Cobb and Nelson. There's no bones about that. They're going to try to pay them both. And they felt Jones was probably going to be a descending player. Mm-hmm. They had seen his best. I thought the contract he got was great, given the draft at wideout and really a decent crop at UFA here. Wish him nothing but the best. He's a terrific person. And like you said, he's a strong leader.
Agree on all accounts. I mean, you talk about somebody who was always honest up front in that locker room.
He's terrific.
It's James Jones. You know, he doesn't sugarcoat things. And, talking to some of these younger receivers, it resonates in the locker room. They saw him kind of playing through pain.
You can rip him on the speed and rip him on this and that and whatever. Fine, but he produced. He had great quarterbacks, but maybe he made them look good as well, you know? There's no real knocks on James Jones. He plays the game right.
Right. Okay, and Marshall Newhouse, probably a player Green Bay will not miss quite as much.
Really? Marshall's gone. He's gone to Cincinnati for $50,000 up front, right? You know, when you look at what's left here after the first 8 or 10 went, there's nobody with left tackle feet.
Mm-hmm.
There's Jeremy Trueblood. You know, there's a bunch of Gronks out there, man. Jamarcus Webb, Tyson Claybo, Eric Winston, McKinney. They're all right tackles. Mm. So I can see the Bengals' interest in Marshall. If he really wants to play and somehow they can become a glass eater and Paul Alexander can get this guy to go for the throat, so to speak, and become a killer. That's what this game is all about. I think all these listeners know that, too. This is a brutal business.
You didn't see that killer instinct in Marshall Newhouse?
No.
To Green Bay.
And they certainly didn't either. Nobody saw it. And the Bengals didn't see it. Nobody could possibly look at that tape and see it. But he does have feet, and to let him swing at two spots, which he can do, for $50,000, you do it. He's young. He's 25. He's played 4 years,
right.
Ty.
Right.
I don't know. Do you see a hope for him becoming a real player?
I really don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
All I know is the other tackles in Green Bay, they got a lot coming back. Bakhtiari did say when we talked, he's coming in thinking he's the left tackle. The Packers haven't told him anything different. So maybe that's what you see. Bakhtiari left side, Brian Bulaga right side. They get whatever they get out of Derek Sherrod. They know what they have in Don Barclay. They didn't need to bring Marshall Newhouse back.
No.
All right, let's get to some questions. All right. So, Jeff Nelson, always dependable Jeff.
Yep.
He says, name the top four positions that Ted Thompson needs to address in the upcoming draft. Go.
He's got to get a safety. He should do something about kick returner. He's got to do something about tight end. He's got to do something about backup quarterback. He really could use another D lineman. The inside backers aren't real good. He could certainly look outside backer. Cornerback, if Hyde's gone, they'd probably need another one there. Running back looks good. Fullback depends on Kuhn. And O-line, maybe center. Wideout, yeah, they could use one. How about you, Ty?
I think you just about covered it there.
You want to boil it down a little? I just kind of rambled.
They need a safety. And it's if one of those tight ends falls to their pick, I think you have to think long and hard about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's top-heavy drafted tight end.
All right, Ty, we got one from John Arias. And John writes, is the Peppers signing still a good one, even if he has an unproductive season?
Good to hear from John at the Mike Heller Show, producer down there. I think so, because they were still able to get a lot of business done outside of that contract and retaining a lot of their own that they valued, the four players that we mentioned. So any contract they gave Julius Peppers didn't affect business there. If he's terrible and he doesn't play well, they can let him go.
Sounds good. All right, Michael Bear, should we read that, Ty?
Sure. Let's,
Mike writes, is Bakhtiari really the long-term solution at LT?
I don't know. I they have to like what they saw in year one. Boy, he didn't back down from some of the better pass rushers in the league. He had some rough moments. Thanksgiving Day comes to mind, but I think they have to be really encouraged. I mean, he really didn't blink when stepped in day one after the inter-squad scrimmage and Bulaga goes down. One thing he said is he doesn't want to be judged as great season, but he's a rookie anymore. He doesn't want that tag. He said that if he was going to look at it himself and grade his own season as a rookie, yeah, phenomenal season. As an NFL player, decent, he said. So he holds himself to a pretty high standard. Still want to see a jump out of him now.
Okay.
What do you think?
People are going to he should advance between year one and year two, and then on the whole career, people are going to be studying him and knowing him too. I think he's their left tackle. We'll see how it works.
All right. We'll get to one final question here. Alex Davis, he asks, and this is a pretty good question, who will be the Packers' backup quarterback? Straightforward, point blank. Matt Flynn's still a free agent. Scott Tolzien returns. Mike McCarthy said they'd like to draft a quarterback. Who's it going to be? Kind of important.
So Tolzien's under contract, and I think I wrote a long time ago that Flynn would maybe be a signing after the draft. Nothing's happened with Flynn yet. Maybe the draft pick becomes number two. He just gets an extra three compensatory. Something like that could be used on a QB, right?
Possibly. Yeah, it could be. That was a win for Green Bay, getting a third-round pick for Greg Jennings and, a fifth for Eric Walden.
Yeah.
So two more picks. That could be a possible quarterback with one of those.
And we have B.J. Coleman and Graham Harrell waiting in the wings, waiting for a call.
They're still waiting for the call. Scott Tolzien, I like Tolzien. I think with a full offseason.
I like Harrell.
you're brutal. You are brutal, Bob. All right, on that note, how about a little Rakim?
Oh, yeah.
You can't go wrong. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody.
thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I just deep up, still coming up the list. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling. We still don't nothing move but the money. But now I...
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Four seasons greetings to you all.